Good. Here we go. Take your Bibles this morning. Take your Bibles. And I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. Turn to the book of Psalms right there in your scripture right there in your Bible. The book of Psalms. Psalm 119 right there. Here we go. Rubik's Cube. Here we go. Psalm 119. Here we go. Psalm 119. And let's take copious notes this morning. Psalm 119. I think maybe, Brother Anwar, we should ask some questions regarding the message and give points out to those that are answering those. Where's Brother Anwar at? Brother Anwar, did you step out? Oh, smoke break. All right, good. Well, maybe, Pastor, maybe ask some questions about that and give some points away. Psalm 119 this morning. Psalm 119. And look at verses 33 through 40. Psalm 119 and verses 33 through 40. I'm serious. I am very happy to be here. Thank you for letting me come and be with y'all for a couple days, and let's make these couple days great days that the Lord will speak to us. How many God spoke to you last night? Raise your hand if the Lord spoke to you. That's great. Raise your hand if the Lord spoke to you. The Lord speak to you. Anybody on this side? Lord spoke to you? Good. All right. Listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you this week, and God's speaking all the time. God is speaking all the time. Psalm 119, verses 33 through verse number 40, all right? Let's read responsively. I'll read verse 33, you read verse 34, and we'll alternate until we reach down to verse number 40. We'll read it together, right? Psalm 119, verse 33, the Bible says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." Verse 34, ready, begin. "Give me understanding." "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Verse 36, ready? "Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Verse 38. "Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good." Verse number 40, all together, ready? All right, do me a favor. Take your pens, and I want you to circle two words. Here we go. In verse 37, the Bible says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." And here's the word I want you to underline, okay, or circle. And quicken. Quicken. I want you to underline or circle that word, quicken, all right? If you got a pen, everybody bring your pen when you come to service. All right, here we go. Quicken. Quicken. That verse number 37. Quicken. And then in verse number 40, drop down to verse number 40. The Bible says, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts." Here's the word again. Quicken. Quicken me in thy righteousness. I want to talk to you about that word, quicken. Circle that word, quicken. What's the word this morning? One, two, three. Quicken. It's that word, quicken. Let's ask the Lord to bless us and help us for a few moments, all right? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. While I pray out loud, you pray on the inside. Say, "Lord, speak to me today," all right? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's all pray to God at this time. Father, just for a few moments this morning, we gathered around your table. We ask God that you would feed us this morning. Thank you for the physical food, but you told us in your word that man should not live by bread alone, but that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thank you, Lord, for the scripture. Thank you that we find instruction. We find the guidelines to live our everyday life. I ask you, Lord, that you would bless us and speak to us one more time this morning. I'm thankful for these teenagers. Thank you for their excitement, their enthusiasm. Lord, they're respectful. They love you. And Lord, I ask that you speak to us this morning. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. All right, here's the word quicken. Here's the word quicken. Now, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and verse number 12, listen. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick." The word of God is quick. What is the word of God? It is what? Now, that word quick means alive. Okay, write it down in your notes. Quicken, quick means alive. You write it down. Write it down. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. Write it down. The word quick means alive. All right, alive. And so the Bible gives its own description in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is quick." What does the word quick mean? Talk to me.
Alive.
Alive, okay. Now, the Bible is alive. The Bible says that it's quick, and then it gives this description: sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrows. And the Bible says it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here it is. The Word of God is alive. And listen, young people, the Word of God is not dead. It is alive. It's not like reading Dr. Seuss. It's not like reading an encyclopedia. It's not like picking up an atlas. It's not like picking up a magazine. The Word of God, every word of God is pure, tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. The psalmist described the Word of God, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I believe that every T, that every I that's dotted, every Q, S, T, R, whatever, all of it in the Word of God is true, all right? All of it is true. From Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God is inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, prepared unto all good works. So here it is. Listen, the Word of God is not dead. It is what? Okay, so here it is. If you have trusted in the Word of God, all right, the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here it is. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, and by the way, thank God for, I think, Calais last night, and Joseph, and I think Billy, and somebody else accepted Jesus Christ last night. Listen, that's the best decision you could ever make in this lifetime. The best decision you could ever make is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now listen, 24 years ago, I knelt down as an 11-year-old boy, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Can I tell you? That's the best decision I've ever made. The best decision by far is trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The second best decision was to be married to Ileana. The third best decision is to serve the Lord Jesus with my life. So here it is. Listen, the Word of God is quick. What does the word quick mean? Now, here in the Psalms, he tells us, quicken me in thy way. You say, what does that mean? God says, the psalmist has a request for God. And he says, God, I want to be alive unto you. I don't want to be dead in this way. So here's this way. I'm walking in it. I'm a teenager, right? I'm a young person. I don't want to be dead unto God, okay? I want to be alive unto God. Hold your place in Psalm 119, okay? And I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Hold your place in Psalm 119 and go to Ephesians chapter number 2. I want you to see what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Here it is. You go right past the Corinthians, okay? If you see the C books right there, Corinthians, it's the next book, all right? Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want you to see the description that the Bible says to this, all right? Ephesians chapter number 2. I want to be alive unto God. I don't want to be dead. I want to be alive. There it is, Ephesians chapter number 2. Is everybody there, Ephesians chapter 2? Only one person is there. Here we go. Follow. Ephesians chapter 2, go past the Corinthian books. If you find Corinthians, it's right next to it. Don't be afraid to look at the table of contents. It's all right. Look at it. Right past the Corinthians, okay? Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Keep your place in Psalm 119, okay? Ephesians chapter number 2. All right, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, fine, right past the Corinthians, it's all right, go Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then go right to Ephesians, okay? So find Romans, the Corinthian books, and then right next to it is Ephesians, all right? Ephesians 2 and verse number 1. You say, why is it important to see the Word of God? That way you know I'm not making it up, all right? I'm preaching the truth this morning, the Word of God, all right? The Word of God is truth. Here it is. Ephesians 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened. You see that word, quicken? What does quicken mean? Talk to me. Alive. You hath he made alive, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. He says, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air is talking about Lucifer. He's talking about the devil. He's talking about Satan, okay? Before this, according for the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience. He says, among whom also we had our conversation. That word conversation means our lifestyle. We had our lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath as others. Now look what the Bible says. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So here it is. If you have been made alive, if God has saved you, if God has breathed life into your body, if God has given you a reason to live, he has quickened you. That means before you were quickened, you were what? Dead, okay? So before you were alive, you were what? We were all dead. I was dead in my sins and trespasses. I was on my way to hell. Look at me. But God saved me. And now I want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, Lord, quicken me. Lord, make me alive unto God. Help me, Lord, to do your will. Teach me to do thy will, for your spirit is good. Now, verse number 33 of Psalm 119. Go back to Psalm 119 and verse number 33. Here it is. Verse number 33. He says, quicken me in thy righteousness. Make me alive. Isn't it awful to be dead? Yeah, absolutely. You say, I don't know what it's like to be dead. Is that a true or false statement? It is true, all right? We all know it's false. We all know what it's like to be dead. Before we trusted Jesus Christ, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. Before I trusted Jesus, I was dead, all right? I lived physically, but I didn't live spiritually, all right? Now we are spiritually alive. Now, three steps on how to be alive unto God. Verse number 33. Give me the first two words of verse number 33. Ready? One, two, three. One more time. Just those first two words. I want you to underline those words right there in the Bible. Teach me. Teach me. It says, Lord, I want to be alive unto you. I want my life to count. So he has this petition. Teach me. If you know the answer to this question, I want you to raise your hand, okay? If somebody is going to teach you, what is the most basic thing? This is not a trick question. It's not a trick question. What's the most basic thing that you got to do if somebody's going to teach you? Just the most basic thing. Yes, sir? You got to do what? That's right. If somebody's going to teach you, you got to do what? Talk to me?
Listen.
Write that down. If somebody's going to teach you, you got to listen. You got to listen. Write it down in your notes. First point is teach me. Right underneath, write the word listen. I was in sixth grade, and I was taking pre-algebra. There's a young cat in the front. His name was Zenith. His parents were from Vietnam. Zenith passed the class with A+. He got an A+ on the quiz. He'd get A+ on the test. He got A+ on midterms and on the final exam. He just passed the class A+. I sat in the back with my friends. Quite frankly, I talked the whole time. Drawing pictures. When I got my report card, I had a D- on my report card. Sixth grade, D-. Mama ain't playing no games. What? That's right. That's the way mama dealt with it. You go bring me no. Yeah, that's right. Give me. Bo. Listen. I sat in the back. I never listened. Never. And then I would think, well, Zenith, of course Zenith is going to get A+. He's Asian, man. Asians are good at math, bro. That's how they roll. But here's the truth. Zenith got an A+ because he sat in the front, yes, but he had developed this art of listening. Isn't it interesting that God gave us one mouth, but God gave us two ears? God says, can I give you a hint? Listen when the authority is preaching to you. Listen when your mom and dad are trying to instruct you. Listen when your youth pastor has something to say. Listen when your pastor is pouring his heart out in church. Listen when a Sunday school teacher is trying to tell you something. But most of all, God says, listen when I open up the windows from heaven and I try to speak to you, I find that in church, in teen camp, in youth group, in Sunday school, all across this world, God is speaking to mankind. And why is it that some people answer to God, some people hear the voice of God, but others, they're in the same crowd, they're in the same population, but they don't listen to God? You know why? Because they do not stop and listen. They just don't listen. God says, hey. Sometimes God wants to whisper. In the book of Psalms, God said, be still and know what? Be still and know that I am God. Let's learn that verse. Ready? Be still and know. One more time. You know what God's saying? Hey, y'all got too much movement. Got too much entertainment. Is it fun? Is it going to have a good time? Is it all? I'm like this. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to us. I'm like this. It's going to be fun. How is this going to make me feel? And God says, wait a minute. I want you to get alone. And I want you to be still. Now I got ADD. I got to do something all the time. I'm having my knees shaking. I'm always twiddling with my fingers or biting my nails or writing something or thinking something. And God says, stop. Be still, listen, and know that I am God. One of the best disciplines you can develop right now as a young person is to get alone sometime during the week. Not your friends, not your cell phone, not Facebook, not Snapchat, not Twitter, not anything, not your laptop, not your cell phones, nothing. Get alone in a room and say, God, I'm going to be still, and I'm going to know that you are God. Speak to me, God, and I guarantee if you get alone with God, God will say, I'm going to speak to you right now. Oh, I love that. Listen. He says, teach me. If God's going to teach you, you got to listen. Number two, write this down. Alive unto God. We're talking about being alive unto God. What are the first two words of verse number 33? Talk to me. One, two, three. All right, three of you guys. What are the first two words of verse number 33? One, two, three. All right, verse number 34. I want you to give me the first two words of verse number 34. On a count of three. One, two, three. Oh, circle those words. Point number two. Give me. This is beautiful. Because he says, I want you to teach me. I got to listen. I'm going to get some wisdom. Now, verse number 34, the Bible says, give me. But give me what? Look what he says. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. I want you to underline the word understanding right there in your Bible, okay? So you got point number one, teach me. Point number two, give me. This is straight from the Bible. Here it is. Teach me. Number two, give me. Give me what? Talk to me. Give me what? What does it say right there? Give me what? Understanding. Right there in the Bible, that word understanding is another word for wisdom. Write down the word wisdom in your notes. Write down the word wisdom in your notes. So he says, teach me. Then he says, give me understanding. Wisdom. Write down the Bible verse. I'm going to quote it to you. We're not going to turn there, but just write it down. Proverbs 4:7. Proverbs 4:7. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy wisdom, get understanding. Here it is. If I were to give you a sledgehammer. Everybody here has a sledgehammer. Let's pretend, all right? Let's ride on the magic school bus. Remember that cartoon? Ride on the magic school bus. Okay, anyways. You know all kinds of cartoons when you got four little kids, all right? So here it is. If you have a sledgehammer, and I say, you know what? Let's tear this building up. We would go crazy. Bah, 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 bah. We go crazy. And then we might start beating on each other. That's just how it is, man. Bah, 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 bah. Listen, it wouldn't take wisdom to tear this building down. We just go crazy. We demolition. Just go crazy. I would just go crazy, man, like riot mode. I lived in Los Angeles during the riots. It wasn't pretty. People got crazy, man. You had to stay in your house. People burning buildings, breaking windows, getting in, stealing TVs, stealing, just going crazy. The riots were crazy. Listen, doesn't take any wisdom to do that. However, once this building was down and crumbled, and we said, we got to put this building back together, then we would all say, ooh, how are we going to do that, man? Well, we need an architect. We need the blueprints. We need engineers. I mean, we need electricians. We need carpenters. We need guys that can put up drywall. We need guys that can put up this metal roofing. You see, anybody can tear something down, but only those that have wisdom, listen, can build something up. And so you say, man, I've seen people throw their lives away. I've seen people on drugs. I've seen people on drugs. I've seen people on alcohol. I mean, they just get drunk. I've seen people do that. I've seen people go out and party, and they live in a wicked lifestyle, having immorality with all kinds of people. They don't care. They just use protected contraceptives and things like that. I'm speaking very honestly and very open to you. I see people do that. You see, that doesn't take wisdom. Anybody can go out and throw their life away. Anybody can go out and party. Anybody can tear their life down. Anybody can end up in a program trying to get off an addiction. But listen, the young people in this room that are going to build their lives upon a foundation of Jesus Christ, the young people in this room that the waves and the winds and the rain's going to come to your life, if you are built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ, when the rains come and when temptation comes, your building's not going to collapse. You're going to be founded on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, what am I saying? When you come to God and you want to be alive unto God, say, yeah, teach me. But number two, tell him, Lord, just give me wisdom. Give me understanding. What is wisdom? My definition, my opinion would be, it is seeing life through the lens of God. It is saying, Lord, what would you have me to do today? It is looking at your life and saying, if I was Jesus, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus respond in this home? How would Jesus act in this school? How would Jesus dress? How would Jesus speak? How would Jesus behave himself towards other people? How would God be if he was in my body? You see, that is wisdom. You're living your life through the perspective of God. Everybody in here needs wisdom. Look at me, look at me. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a preacher, I'm a minister, I'm a brother, I'm a son, I'm a friend. Listen, I can't be all those things without wisdom. I need God to give me his understanding. I need God to flow through me. Why? So that at this teen camp, God can say, okay, I got my servant Sammy. I'm going to take him like a carpenter takes a hammer, and I'm going to use him to strike where the teenagers need. I'm going to use him to save what every individual needs. You see, I got to come underneath the wisdom and power of Almighty God. And listen, what if you today say, I'm going to come under wisdom. I ask God, give me wisdom. Listen, 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 look at me. Your pastor's not the only person in the room that needs wisdom. Your mom and dad are the only people that need wisdom. Every individual, young adults that are in the room, you need wisdom to make decisions that are going to impact your rest of your future. You need wisdom. Number one, teach me. Number two, talk to me. What's number two? And I end here. Number three, look what the Bible says in verse number 35. Look at verse number 35. This is very simple, right out of the Bible. Verse number 35. Verse number 35. You see it? What does the Bible say? What does it say? Let's all say it on the count of three. One, two, three.
Make me.
Circle it right there and write it down as point number three. He says, quicken me in thy righteousness. He's got three petitions for God. Number one, he says, teach me. Number two, he says, give me. And number three, do you see it there in the Bible? What does he say? Make me to go in the paths that I delight. Make me. Close your Bibles and look at me. Stretch. All right, look at me. Ready? Here we go. When I was 15 years old, how old was I?
15.
I was 15 years old. I was at the house. I was with my three friends, and we were playing Street Fighter. Does anybody know what Street Fighter is? Good. All right, we still get down. All right. I used to like to use Ryu's. Anybody know who Ryu is? All right, Ryu was the bomb, okay? So I used to play Ryu, okay? We were taking turns playing. Oh, man, you sorry, man, you sorry. Boom, Sonic, boom. Oh, no, no, we're just playing. We're in the zone. We're just playing, man. We're dumb kids, 15-year-olds. Just dumb. We're just playing. About 7:45, my mom come in from work. I could hear her come up those steps. Remember? East 52nd Street, 27.5B. That little shack, but I had a Super Nintendo. I don't care. She's walking up the stairs. My mom's from El Salvador. She's like 5'8". She weighs 180 pounds. She's got forearms like Popeye, okay? My mom's a very kind person, super sweet. But how many know? Mom can be super sweet, but it's a very thin line between mom and get crazy. You know what I'm saying? Mom's like this, but she can go. It don't matter. Moms, they got that gift. I'm seeing my mom come up the stairs. She's working all day. You know what I'm saying? She's working all day. She comes up the stairs. Eek, open the doors and walks in. Hey, mom, good to see you. Hey, mijo, la, 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 la. Puts down the stuff. She always brought some stuff from work, you know, some milk, things that she cooked, you know. She kept food on the table, however she had to do it. And she walks to the back, and she noticed that the trash is full. So she sees the trash, and she comes to the TV, in front of the TV. She says, hey, mijo. Here's what she said. Quiero que saques la basura. Well, what that means is, I want you to take out the trash. And I'm like, all right. But remember, we're in the zone. We scrapping. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop. Got him. She goes back to the kitchen. She's still unwinding, getting dressed, taking a shower. She comes out. She looks and she goes, hey, mijo, saca la basura. And I'm like, okay. You know, I'm grown. 15, I'm almost as big as I am now. I haven't changed, I mean, quite frankly. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get to it. It's all good. I'm going to get to it. I'm not disrespectful, but, you know, a little frustrating. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to get to it. Like, it's all good. I'm going to get to it. About 2 minutes later, my mom comes to the front of the TV. She folds her arms. Now she got that little John Cena bicep going on. You know what I'm saying? She got that flex going on, boy. And my mom's like, saca la basura ahorita. Well, ahorita means what? Now. That means take out the trash now. This is the only time that I've ever said this, the first and the last time I've ever said this. I don't know how you are, but sometimes you have those stupid moments in your life. Can I get a witness right there? You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm with some honest folks this morning. Good, I can preach to y'all, all right? And I looked at my mom, and she was standing there, saca la basura ahorita. And I remember looking up, and I said, make me. Good. How many of you guys seen the Home Run Derby? Hey, bro, when I said make me, it was like a straight pitch down the middle, and I see my mom said, it was like Matrix. She was like, when I said make me, I saw it in slow motion. And then I thought, man, why'd I say that? And you know how you talk to yourself? Like, whoa, bro, time out, bro, whoa. You know the inside job, them little crazy characters? I'm like, why'd you say that? I was stupid, bro. I was stupid. And as soon as I said that, I felt the air. It was like, on the side of my head, and it was like, oh, she busted me in the side of my head. No lie. And my ears started to throb. It was like, woo, woo, woo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could hear, like, all the way over here, man. I mean, it was like, woo, woo, woo. And when my mom busted me inside of my head, my friends were like, dude, bro, you got dealt with. Hey, your mom dealt with you, bro. They got up and ran out the house. My mom disconnected the thing, man. She almost threw it in the trash. Put it over here. Take out the trash. And then I'm telling you, that day, she made me. Yeah, I like that rain. Praise God. Listen, listen. She made me take out the trash. I went, and I was like, hey, man, my ears throbbing. Remember that time they came to pick Jesus up in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that dude chopped off his ear? That was me, all right? I took out the trash. Can you look at me? When the Bible says, make me right here, That's not his attitude. You know what he's saying? Lord, you taught me. I've listened. Lord, you gave me wisdom. But quite frankly, I still don't get it. Look at me. I still don't get this pre-algebra. I already listened. I've had private tutoring. I've applied these principles, these equations. I've applied it. I still don't get it. And now the psalmist says, would you just make me? Can I ask you this question? Look at me. Have you ever just asked the Lord to make you? I say, what do you mean? How many of you guys play chess? Play chess? Lower your hands. You know that if you got the right moves, it doesn't matter how many pieces your opponent has. All you is one move or two moves away from the checkmate. How many of you guys know that? You're like, hey, I'm precise with this. Boom, check. What? But I got 10 pieces. I don't care. Check. What is it? Then you're like, checkmate. And you mean, this guy's got 12 pieces. You only got two. Can I tell you what God does in your life? Look at me. You ask God to make you. You know what God does? He's the greatest chess master. He takes your piece and he says, I like when you tell me you need me. I like when you tell me that you can't do anything without me. I like when you say, God, just make me what I ought to be. And God says, okay. Whoop, whoop, checkmate on the devil. Whoop, whoop, checkmate on this world. Whoop, whoop, checkmate on your flesh. Whoop, whoop, checkmate on society. God says, I'm going to put you where you need to be. But God says, if you tell me to make you, God says, you better be prepared because I'm going to move you and I'm going to do some things in you. I'm going to transform the renewing of your mind. I'm going to make you a new person. When people look at him like, man, what happened to that dude? What happened to that girl? Hey, she might have been down on knee during youth camp and during church and just said, Lord, teach me, give me. But Lord, I tried those things, but now I'm asking you to make me. Make me alive unto God. Teach me, give me, make me. Let's say those three things. Ready? One, two, three. Teach me. Whatever head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for listening to the word of God this morning.